The essence of expiation, its foundation, without which expiation has no meaning, the essence of expiation is loving God more. Without the more, you're not talking the language of the church. Loving God more than we would have had to love Him had we not sinned. If there is one mystery of God's revelation, it is the mystery of sin. Why God allows people to sin. This is the, capital T, capital H, capital E. I repeat, if you get this, you made a good retreat. Having sinned, having loved ourselves in competition with the love of God more than Him, that's what sin is. There are two wills that are constantly in conflict. The will of human beings and the will of God. Every time we sin, God comes off second best. Having sinned, therefore, we owe, it is the most fundamental duty of our lives. We are obliged to love God and get the Word more. As far as we can penetrate into a profound mystery, this is the one insight that God has revealed to us as, insofar as we can use the language, why sin? God allows sin in order that sinners, once they come to their senses, might love God more than they would have loved Him or would have had to love Him had they not sinned. I don't want to lose anybody, including the empty seats. That is why God has allowed us to sin. And why Christ could ask Peter, but humanly speaking, is an impossible question to answer. Do you love me more than these? Love me. And the answer is, Lord, I better love you more. Because I've sinned in a way that I know the others have not. And then Christ's response. I had to improvise as I read this, because I don't think I've seen 5 consecutive translations of St. John's Gospel without some difference in the way they would translate what Christ says. Feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. What can Christ mean? Remember, Christ is a good shepherd. He was just making Peter his chief visible shepherd on earth. The purpose of, shepherding is to make sure that they eat. But notice where Christ began. Feed my lambs. the youngest of my flock, the children. Feed them what? You've said this before. Remember when we define peace of mind as the mind's experience of possessing the truth. Christ was telling Peter, feed the youngest of my flock the truth, and feed them from infancy. Is this ever needed today? Lord. And these are Catholic families. I'd have dinner, say, with a family, and before the dinner was ready, I'd see maybe, say, two children on the floor watching television. I know enough about television to know there are some, believe me, a minimum of programs that even adults should watch, let alone children. Feed my lambs. That's the Pope's responsibility. I didn't count, but I wager 4 out of 5, at least 3 out of 5, of at least the pictures that we have of the Holy Father are with children, right? And he's more than once said publicly why he does that. He is fulfilling the first duty that he has as the chief visible shepherd of the flock of Christ on earth. To emphasize what is so desperately, and that's a mild adverb, needed in the world today. Feed the youngest of my flock the truth. Christ asked him a second time, and Peter says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Now, depending on the translation, the sequence that I follow is feed my lambs, then feed my sheep. In other words, feed the truth not only to the youngest of my flock, but to all of my flock. Now, let me tell you, there's the responsibility of the vicar of Christ, but he just cannot do it. And the verb is he cannot do it by himself. That's why, in the most elemental sense of the word, the vicar of Christ, to fulfill his responsibility inherited from Peter, needs the cooperation of those who, having received the faith, can feed first Christ's lambs and then his sheep, the truth. My 22nd year in working for the Holy See, as I tell people when they ask me, what do you do? I say, odd jobs. Including one very odd job, which I will not describe, in the Archdiocese of Detroit. Some years ago, Cardinal Dearden was still Archbishop of Detroit. All I can tell you is the Holy Father is poor, and that word is spelled P-O-O-R. Holy See just does not have the resources. I keep telling people, the budget of the United States Catholic Conference, which is consciously, deliberately, independent of the Pope, just put up a $30 million building on the grounds of the Catholic University of America. Their budget is larger than that of the Vatican for the whole church. And a sister, a nun, recently showed me, two sides of a flyer distributed by her secularized community, urging the people to pay not the Peter's pence, but Mary's pence, to support their own feminist ideology. If that's not demonic, then I don't understand the devil. Somebody's got to do it. And as we know so well, many are not doing it. Not only are even, these are Catholic, both children and adults, not being fed the truth which alone can nourish the human mind. They are being fed the opposite. I hope you agree. That's why, by the way, there's such an, shall I call it, institution of the Ignatian Catechists and Marian Catechists. Besides other things that I'm told by the Holy See to do, would you please do something to organize the laity? But first train them, form them, so that they then might fulfill the responsibility of the vicar of Christ on earth. Happy to report, which I've told some of you, I have full backing of my own Jesuit superiors in Rome for the very title Ignatian Catechists. Feed my sheep. Both the first and the second commission of Christ to Peter, and through Peter to all of us, is for the mind. But then Christ asks a third time, and Peter, he wasn't sure why, and Christ began asking him. By the time he asked the third time, Peter knew exactly why. To make sure that not just Peter, but until the end of time, the whole human race, and please God, we would understand, the way we expiate sin is by love. And the way we show that love is by meeting the needs of those whom God puts into our lives. And what is their primary need? Their primary need is for the truth. Otherwise, they'll be walking corpses, living bodies but dead souls. And shall I add, stinking corpses. That's the way we show our love for Christ and we sinners, an expiation for having failed in our love for Christ. Now, we spend the rest of our days and exhausting ourselves in loving Him in a way that we've never either loved Him before or would ever have to. And the verb is had to, because we are expiating our sins. But notice, this is not verbal love of God. These are not pious phrases or prayers that we recite. It is a real, factual, concrete, specific love of God by meeting the needs of others. And what is the single greatest need of the human spirit? It is for the truth. Dear Jesus, I hope I'm not losing anybody. Am I clear? But I've got so much work to do. My schedule. No matter what you tell me, I just keep repeating what I have said. In the name of God, whatever else you do, be sure that you expiate your sins. That's why I'm here. I try to expiate my sins in proclaiming the truth to others, feeding from the youngest of Christ's flock to every person who enters our lives, including the woman from Iran flying from Detroit to Albuquerque. She was on the way to Albuquerque to visit her son, who is in studies, university studies in Albuquerque. The whole flight in, they talked about Esau, Jesus. She never talked to a priest in her life. A lot of things to do, but here's a soul. I don't think I'll ever meet her this side of eternity. And she was just thrilled to know that Esau, the Ibn Mariam, the son of Mary, is the Ibn Allah, the son of God. The human mind is hungry, starving for the truth. After my 5 years at the State University in Western Michigan, I could have written a dozen books, condensed it into one. There's only one title I could give for that book, The Hungry Generation. In my 5 years, I'm not exaggerating, I never once retired before midnight. Never once. And at a 6:30 mass a mile away that I walked to each morning, starving for the truth. Finally, Christ asked Peter for the last time, "Do you love me?" Peter, remember, was hurt, but he understood. "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And then, no longer feeding, now it is tend. Tend my sheep. Watch over my sheep. Protect them. Direct them. And speaking to the first vicar of Christ, rule them. Now that is why, as our faith tells us, the Bishop of Rome has supreme jurisdiction in two basic ways: supreme authority in teaching and supreme authority in ruling. And that supremacy includes the bishops, comma, includes the bishops, semicolon, that supreme authority of the Vicar of Christ, his supreme authority in teaching and in ruling over all the people of God, including bishops. Exclamation mark. The first conference of bishops that was mandated by the Second Vatican Council, that periodically delegates from the countries of the world should send bishops to Rome to meet for about 3 weeks with the Bishop of Rome. Paul the Sixth was Pope then, shortly after the close of Vatican II. One bishop and he a cardinal for one whole year before that planned assembly of bishops in Rome was publicizing throughout the world to the media that our hope, we bishops, when we meet with the Pope, they'll make sure that we get these periodic meetings of bishops to be not only advisory, but that what we decide on will be mandatory for the Pope. I think I better identify his name. It is Cardinal Sunens of Moline, Belgium. And as Providence would have it, happened to be teaching that went to the University of Ottawa. My confessor was then secretary to the Papal Nuncio in Canada. And he kept me posted. Paul the Sixth, for 1 year, was planning strategy on how to cope with his historic challenge to papal authority. By the third day, as I heard post factum, Cardinal Sunens was isolated. But it took months of strategy on the part of the Pope to protect his primacy. I have said this several times and I repeat, this tape will not be for general distribution. The single, I believe, greatest challenge to the Catholic Church in our day is a rising Episcopalianism and the Episcopoi, the bishops, are acting, teaching, leading, telling the people what to do. Along with lip service to the Vicar of Christ. Thank God there are many bishops that are thoroughly loyal to the Vicar of Christ. But I can tell you this, as being part of my work, if you think you have problems, you should talk to some of these bishops. Back to our meditation. This is our faith. We believe that among the now some 900 million at least nominal Catholics in the world, there is one person And as we know, there have been enough Polish jokes. Pleading one, may God forgive him, cracked over national television shortly after the election of the present Holy Father. We believe when Christ told Peter and selectively chose him that he was to feed my lambs, feed my sheep, and tend my sheep, he was conferring on the Bishop of Rome, and notice, Bishop of Rome, of all places, for Peter was not even a great fisherman, and as John makes clear, was not even much of a swimmer. We have gone, as we believe, under divine revelation from that postage stamp of a country then called Palestine, to have traveled across the Mediterranean to the center of the civilized world, and less than 30 years, this unlettered fisherman became so powerful. Needless to say, through no natural gifts of his own, that his historians say, Nero had to, he just had to execute Peter, had to. Christianity became so strong. If there is one thing the people of the Roman Empire needed, they were hungry for the truth. And by the year 100 AD, there were over 100 dioceses along the whole shore of the Mediterranean Sea. And the center from the first century to the present, and we believe until the end of time, of the church founded by Christ will be the Sea of Peter. What are some practical implications for all of us? First of all, come to know the papacy. I will suggest, but only suggest, that at least you begin. There are libraries that have these books in English. The edition is 40 volumes. One pastor called The Lives of the Popes spans about 600 years. Prior to that, up to the point where von Pastor picks up, there are The Lives of the Popes by Manning. I would say in about a dozen volumes. All I know is that reading those volumes, years of course, in the process, has changed my life, given me the kind of foundation I need. Except for the papacy, there will be no Christianity. Forget it. Like a couple came to see me at the university a couple of weeks ago. She a convert, he might be called a born Catholic. But she was having difficulties understandably, for the Catholic faith. Why, she told me with her husband there, do we need the church to tell us this and tell us that? It's all in the Bible. And she brought a Bible with her. So I asked her, why do you think all we need is the Bible? Well, because that's the revealed word of God. She held it up. At one point, slip of the tongue, I said, you know, there are some things that I like to tell Protestants. Oh, she stopped me in the middle of a sentence. But I'm not a Protestant. Pardon me. So we asked her, where did we get the Bible? Well, from God. But many books have been written. How many Gospels are there? Four. How do you know there are four Gospels? Well, that's the number that God inspired, the Holy Spirit inspired. How many Gospels were written in the first 300 years of the Church's history? What do you mean, how many Gospels? Four Gospels. Then I ticked off the names of some of the other 21 Gospels. You would even have the Bible, my dear, except for the Church under the authority of the Bishop of Rome. Come to know the papacy. With all the reading that we do, maybe the first time in your life, be the life of Pope Leo XIII, of Pius XI, of Pius XII, of John XXIII, his journal, of Paul VI. Secondly, be sure you understand what the papacy means. It means supreme jurisdiction in faith and morals is finally vested in one man. Need I tell you, there are many nominally Catholic circles where that language is unintelligible Egyptian. Don't know what you're talking about. And one of the responsibilities, if I can call it such, and this is over the years, to do something about getting the Holy Father's official newspaper, comes out in multi-language edition once a week. Over 50 million Catholics, I think I've given you the figure. The exact figure I got in Rome just a few months ago. 2,900 copies of the Observatore Romano sold in the United States. My God! And let me tell you, this is all carefully, strategically planned strategy. I know. Read what the Holy Father has to say. I was in St. Paul, Minnesota for the Wanderer Forum and speak at a convention of homeschooling parents. And there I met my good friend, Father Cletus Healy, who in his zeal to promote, dedication to the Vicar of Christ, comes out with a monthly packet of quotations from the Pope for the previous month. So I said, "Cletus, what's your circulation?" I couldn't believe my ears, and I had my hearing aid on. 100. "Cletus, you're kidding. 100. I told him, "Cletus," and we shook hands. "Let's work together. I promise you, by the end of this year, you will up that circulation to 1,000. Will you fellas help?" And the price is minimal. We're asking ourselves, how are we to live out this faith that we have in the vicar of Christ? Defend the papacy. And as we know, the outstanding lay martyr for the primacy of the Pope, Thomas More. Remember? And all the bishops of England, except for, remember, John Fisher, all caved in. Thomas More, the layman, remained faithful and paid for his loyalty with his blood. I'm helping a young man at the university in Washington, CU, Catholic University, with his doctoral dissertation. He's writing his dissertation on the papal primacy in the writings of Thomas More. His director went to a woman at the university with a shining PhD she has to give her or get her feedback from this projected doctoral thesis. This fellow was just so crushed by the response he got from his director via this woman, still professedly a religious woman. This projected dissertation is sectarian. Hear it, I'm being recorded. Thomas More was not a defender of the papal primacy. To his credit, the credit of his director, and I also told him what to tell his director, he's writing the dissertation. Defend the papacy. Finally, pray and sacrifice for the Holy Father every day. If there is one man on earth that needs our sacrificial prayers, it is the Vicar of Christ. One of the great privileges of my life, and celebrate Mass right next to the Holy Father at his private altar. But I can tell you, he is, in the deepest sense of the word, a man of sorrows. Pray for him as a person. Lord Jesus, we thank you for giving us Peter and his successors as your vicars. But above all, dear Jesus, in a world that is hostile to the papacy, we might profess our faith in the primacy of the Pope, and if need be, dear Jesus, give us the strength even to die for what we believe. Amen. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
And then it is the Son of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Father, and the Son, Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Seed of wisdom,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
My clock is faster than that one, so apologies for beating the clock. Our plan, therefore, is that we will have our meditation, which is really the closing meditation of the retreat, followed, I believe, by lunch, and then there's a private conference. Am I correct? Is it 1 o'clock. And then after the private conference, we'll assemble in chapel for the closing benediction, the papal blessing, the enrollment of the Miraculous Medal Confraternity, and the blessings of religious articles that you may have. And then we will finish then with benediction of the Blessed Sacrament. I decided to have our closing meditation on the teaching of Pope John Paul II on the media in the apostolate. The teaching of Pope John Paul II on the use of the media in the apostolate. First, an explanation of some terms. By media, of course, we include writing, radio, television, computer, all the modern media of communication. The teaching of Pope John Paul II, what I've done is chosen 7 areas from his writings. I should say that this is one of my commitments from the Holy See. In fact, I'll make it stronger. In the early 70s, Pope Paul VI sent to the United States an emissary to alert Americans to the use of the media to preserve the Catholic Church in America. The abbot came here several times over a period of 1 year. I was one of those who was chosen to work with the abbot. After 1 year of meeting, one day we were in Palatine, outside of Chicago, the abbot and I, and he said, if anything happens to me, would you take over my mission of the Holy Father for the use of the media, writing, radio, television, computer, in the propagation of the faith. So I said, Bill, you're a personal friend of the Holy Father's. I'm not in your league. He said, forget it. If anything happens to me, would you take over my mission? He was in good health. 2 weeks later, he was found dead in bed. And for the last 20 years, this has been my responsibility. So I thought I'd share with you, and I count 7 statements of the Holy Father.